Higher and higher. become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Hallelujah. Do you feel that? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt your name. We lift you up, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you remember that day when you were changed in his presence?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I've been changed, healed, freed, delivered. I found joy, peace, grace, and favor.
Right now.
going back. I'm never going back. Never going back to the way it was. Never going back. I'm never going back. Never going back to the way it was. Never going back. I'm never going back. Never going back to the way it was. I won't go back, I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back.
Hallelujah. Lord, you are good. You can be seated at this time. It is already in July, and if you want to know how many days it is till Christmas, just ask Brother Callum. He knows. He's got a little countdown on his Facebook. I need a couple volunteers. Austin, could you give me a hand? We're going to hand out some bread. Those who have kept up with their bread to the month till July, could you stand at this time? And we're going to notice the ones on the platform, too. We won't skip them out. And yes, give them a hand. Can we give Austin a hand for passing that out? We'll get one more. If we could all stand at this time, we're going to ask you ushers to come to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name. We're going to ask Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering? Amen.
and you found me. I was blind and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken and you healed me. I was dying and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity.
Hallelujah. I don't ever want to lose my identity in Christ. I know who I am. I'm humble enough to know that who I am is all because of who He is. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe all to Thee. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands? Can you lift your voice? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We praise You. We thank You, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to have so many friends, family among us, Phillips family, Parrish family, the lovely new addition. It's we were at the parade yesterday, and I looked back, and Brother Joel Parrish had the granddaughter in his arms. I said, "Man, you look like you're right in your element." And he said, "I am." So good to have you in service with us this morning, and just good to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. As many of you know, this is a very popular weekend, I guess you could say, for us here at First Apostolic Church Sandwich. We have our Freedom and Family Picnic, and we've thrown around a bunch of different names on Facebook. And so, well, what we do know is that it's a picnic where we get together, we eat, we have fun, we fellowship, and if you stay around long enough, you'll see fireworks. That's what we do know. So happening this afternoon, you can be seated. Thank you for standing. Happening this evening, beginning at 5 o'clock, we will start, many of us gathering at 4:30 to set up. Let me ask this real quick, just to expedite this process and make sure it happens. If you are here and you have a truck that you have here this morning and you are also planning to bring it tonight, why don't you stand? If you have a truck, I know some of you have a truck, so don't, I mean... Thank you. We are going to need your help and your assistance in getting some stuff to and fro. 4:30, many of those, we have some that have signed up to help load tables and chairs. So if you'd be here at 4:30 to help load. And I know that Brother Al said he would have his truck here. We can load the tables in Brother Al's truck. And then if somebody else would be willing to either come with your truck or let somebody else drive your truck and have it here where we can load the chairs, that would be great. And then other duties and responsibilities are there on the sign-up sheet. Thank you so much for helping us out on this endeavor. The more hands we have to help us, the better off we'll be. Thank you, Sister Georgia, Sister Doris, Sister Nancy, for putting all the patties together, the meat. They pattied all the hamburger meat together. And so if it doesn't taste good, it's their fault. No, I'm kidding. But thank you so much for doing that. And so many of you, yes, that's right. That's proper. Now you can stand, and if you would open your Bibles, Romans chapter number 7. I want to tell you, as you can see at the back, there is a wonderful display of wonderful treats, baked goods. The Children's Ministry Department is endeavoring to raise funds to go and be a part of Investing in Futures, a children's ministry conference. And so there are jars in the table. You're a generous folk, and so we know that you will give liberally and then take sparingly. And so there are jars where you can put money in as by donation only. There's no set cost. You just put some money in the jar and take some baked goods. And they are baked with love. And as many of you know, they're very good. If you've ever had the baking of the people here in this church, very wonderful, wonderful. So please take time to do that after service and buy you some baked goods. Romans chapter number 7, begin reading in verse number 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Everybody say warring. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Can I paraphrase it and say it this way without taking it out of context or changing the meaning? Apostle Paul, writing the church at Rome, is saying that I find this law that when I would want to do good, I find that evil is also present. Delight in the law of God after the inward man. I really want to do what's right. I want to make the right decisions. But then I also find myself, there's a war that happens. There's a struggle. My mind, I serve the law of God. I want to make the right decisions. It's up there. I know what to do many times, but then I find myself not doing what I know is right. I know what I should do, but I don't often do what I should do. There's this struggle. There's this conflict. There's this war. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. Now, I realize that there are divisions in your Bible, chapters and verses, understanding that upon initial writing, there are no such divisions. So if you were to continue the thought, you have to turn the page, if you will, or to the next chapter of the book of Romans, Romans 8, 1. Continuing in this thought, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free. Everybody say free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's just conflict in me. My mind, I serve the law of God. I know what to do right. I find my members not often or always, shall I say, executing what I know to be good. There's just conflict. Even though there's conflict, there is no condemnation. Say that again. Even though there's conflict, there is no condemnation. There's conflict, but no condemnation. That's what I want to preach upon this morning. Conflict, but no condemnation. Conflict, but no condemnation. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this place this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for all the friends and family that have gathered here together. God, not only celebrate our families and our freedom, Lord, but also celebrate our life with you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Conflict, but no condemnation. During this time of year, the subject of freedom is frequently visited. We celebrate, and rightly so, the independence of the United States of America and its freedom as a sovereign nation. Many will, patriotic fervor, and in many different ways, they will let freedom ring. Last night, as I was studying, there were some people in our area that were already letting freedom ring. Things were exploding and dogs were barking, but they were already exercising their freedom. They were letting freedom ring. Yesterday, as I joined many others lined up on Main Street here in Sandwich for the Freedom Parade, I noticed a few individuals walking through the crowd, and I read the slogan upon their shirt, and it said this: "Land of the free because of the brave." It took a moment to reflect on how true of a statement that is. We do live in the land of the free because of the brave. There are many individuals who gave of themselves, some the ultimate sacrifice, so that we could experience the type of freedom that found us gathering with our families on the side of the road and celebrating our freedom. But I begin to think a little further. I begin to think of something a little more important and more valuable than my freedom through the United States of America. I begin to think of my freedom through Jesus Christ. how that I live a life of freedom because of his bravery. Because of what he did for you and I. And Romans 8:2 that we read tells us how that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Because of his bravery, because of what he did, because of his ultimate sacrifice, I have a freedom that is much greater than my patriotic freedom. I have a freedom that is much greater than what I experience as a citizen of the United States of America. I have a freedom that far exceeds any other freedom in all the world. I have a freedom from the law of sin and death. Then I begin to think of it in comparison, in like manner, that much like national freedom, everybody as a citizen enjoys the benefits, but only a few understand how the benefits came to be. Say it with me. There are some among us, Brother Alex Atkins, a major in political science. He is rife with knowledge concerning American history. I love American history. I read books and I've studied things concerning our nation and its founding and what it came to be. But I know this. I know that even though they signed the Declaration of Independence, the fight for freedom just had begun. Conflict then ensued. And the fight was on. And even today, we fight to maintain our freedom. We fight as citizens of the United States of America to maintain those liberties that have established us. We fight. There's conflict. But I also begin to understand this, that while many people enjoy the benefits and only few people really understand how the benefits came to be, there are very few people that can tell you. Some of the writers of the Declaration of Independence. I was somewhat amused, and I'm not making fun, but I looked up here, and as we were practicing before service, and Sister Davis began to play America the Beautiful, and I turned around, and all the singers that were singing, they were all looking at the words on the screen. And I even commented, and somebody said, are they really looking at the words for America the Beautiful? No, it's not a slight against them. It's the understanding that we have so many freedoms that we take for granted. This great nation that we live in, and I realize that there are multiple opinions, and there's multiple people who say multiple things concerning this nation, and I get it. But I also understand this, that the experience and the study and the understanding and the knowledge of how we attain this freedom gives us more meaning for the freedom. So I begin to parallel it concerning the things of God, how that because of what Jesus Christ has done, we all enjoy freedom. Few of us really understand how the freedom came to be. The benefit that we have, the benefits that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. How did those benefits come to be? It's one thing to quote Romans 8:2, how that the law, the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. But it's a whole other thing to understand Romans 8:2. Say that again. It's one thing to quote it. It's another thing to understand. How this law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin. How does it come to be? I can recognize and I can quote and I can to some extent know that freedom exists. But the more that I understand and the more that I know and the more that I see and the more relevance it has gives me that much more meaning. To understand that in you and I and in our beings, there is this conflict. There is this struggle between spirit and flesh. But there is also some freedom that we have. So that's really what I want to talk about. Because I believe one of the understandings essential to the life of a born-again believer in regard to our freedom is this. That there is conflict, but there is no condemnation. Say that again.
I believe one of the understandings that is essential to you and I, because if we are not careful, we allow the enemy to bring condemnation. We allow the enemy to make us think that because we mess up and we make mistakes and we are human and we are frail, that somehow we negate the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And you need to understand and you need to know there is conflict and there is struggle. And some things I do, sometimes I do those things that I would not. But I also understand that where there is conflict, that's okay. There is no condemnation. That I am no longer under the law of sin and death. Stay with me. Let's talk about this conflict for a little bit. It is easier to live a life of sin. You see, some of y'all are scared to affirm that, but you know it's true. Pray, well, where's Pastor going with this? I don't want to nod my head or say amen at this point because he may turn it on me. When that statement was made, we understand, you're right. It is easier. It's easier to live a life of sin. Any fool can float downstream. Say with me. Walking with the crowd doesn't take much courage or commitment. If one decided to walk out these doors today and walk the way of the world, they would not be met with resistance. Matter of fact, it might all of a sudden become easier. If one concedes to carnality and forfeits the struggle against the flesh, one will find that way much wider and more accommodating. For broad is the way. That's the Bible. It's not my opinion, that's the Bible. It's easier to live a life of sin. It's easier to compromise. It's easier to capitulate. It's easier to give in. It's easier just to walk the way of the world. It's easier not to swim upstream. It's easier just to go along with everybody else and just to do. It's easier to give in to the pressure. It's easier. It's harder to bow your back and stand up straight. It's harder to say, I'm going to live according to the principles and precepts of the Word of God. It's a struggle. There is conflict. There is a reason why the Bible calls it the fight of faith. Some of y'all are going to start to get on board. We recognize just the fact that you got up this morning and you made your way to the house of God is a testimony to the fact that you're still willing to fight. You're here, and you're lifting your hands, and you're lifting your voice, and you're clapping, and you're affirming some things. Let me tell you what you're also doing in the Spirit. You're reaffirming your commitment to continue in the conflict. You're reaffirming, I'm still here. Look here, devil. I raise my hand to let you know I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not compromising. There's conflict, yes. There's struggle, yes. It ain't always easy, yes. But I'm still here and I'm still fighting. He doesn't want you to keep fighting. He wants you to give in. He doesn't want you to stay the course. He wants you to detour. My God, if we can truly understand, oh yes, this is a fight of faith, and I want to be able to look back like the Apostle Paul and said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Pastor, I got situations, and I got circumstances, and I got struggles. Yes, welcome to the party. We all got them. There's conflict in each and every one of us. Let me just go out a little bit further. This whole idea that Christianity is somehow that I can have and be a Christian without a cross. Or I can have anointing without agony. I can just somehow, that this just being a Christian is how we adapt to the culture. No, we do not adapt to the culture. Being a Christian is counter to the culture. And it is the understanding that if I choose to be a Christian, I choose a way of conflict. So I beg to differ with you. Religion is not for the weak. Religion is for the strong. Religion is for those who decide to bow their back and stand up straight and say, I will not fall. I will not capitulate. I will not compromise. I will remain in the conflict. We'll fight. The reason why I'll fight, because I understand the freedoms that I fight for. There's conflict. There's struggle. The struggle is real. And might I say this, I believe it is intensified. Apostle Paul, we read it in our text. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring. Get that? It's warring. There's conflict. There's struggle. I want to do good, but I find the law that when I do good, evil is present with me. There's another law that's warring against me. Warring against the law of my mind, and it's bringing me into captivity in the law of sin, which is in my members. No, not to do it, but then I find myself sometimes doing so. Well, maybe you're perfect. Maybe you're not humble enough to admit that you make mistakes. Man, it got quiet in here. But I'm here to tell you, the conflict still rages. There's still warring that goes on. There's still struggles that I have. There's still things that I deal with. Paul writes in Galatians 5, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's the Bible. Struggle, it's there, it's real. Spirit, the flesh, they're contrary one to another. Why? Because carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I have carnality. There's a part of me that if left to my own devices, I will revert back to doing whatever's right in my own eyes. And if I do that, if I decide to stop swimming upstream and I just float along, let the current carry me, guess where I will be carried? I will be carried to where every imagination of my heart is evil continually. The heart is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm sorry to break the news to you, but in our base nature, we are not good. If left to our own, there is none good but God. And until I learn how to align my life in such a way that I say unto Him, Lord, You are Lord. You're not just my Savior, You're my Lord. And so what You do and what You advise, I follow. Now stay with me a little more. Because this war, this conflict, it continues, it rages on, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But I've come with some good news. That even though there is conflict, there is no condemnation. Stay with me. Even though there is conflict, there is no condemnation. What is this condemnation that he talks about? What is this law of sin and death? Well, if we understand the Bible and we understand that the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, then sin condemns one to die. Make sense? If the wages of sin is death, and I sinned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if the wages of sin is death, then sin condemns me to die. It's not rocket science, it's pretty simple. Sin results in death. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So death is the result of sin. Because of sin, one is condemned to die. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, A-L-L, all men, for that all have sinned. So sin, this law of sin and death, is that death results from sin, and all have sinned, and therefore all must die. That's the law of sin and death. The law of sin says, if you sin, you die. That's what the law of sin and death says. Sin, the wages of sin is death, so if you sin, you are condemned to die. That is the judgment. There is no mercy. If you sin, you die. That's the law of sin and death. So something has to supersede the law. Something has to be greater than the law of sin and death. There has to be something that supersedes that law. There has to be something that is greater than the condemnation of death because of sin. There has to be something that makes that law null and... There's conflict, but no condemnation. Catch this. There is a law that supersedes the law of sin and death. There is a law that says, even though I have sinned, I do not have to die. Even though I make mistakes, catch this, they are not fatal. Even though I am wounded, they are not mortal wounds. Even though I struggle in the conflict, and even though there's warring, and even though I find myself doing the things that I should not do, even though those things exist in my life, and I am not perfect, and I make mistakes, and yes, I do sin. There's a law that supersedes the law of sin and death. There's something that is greater. There's something that someone has done that makes the law of sin and death null and void. There is something that says, even though I have sinned, it's not fatal. Even though I have sinned and even though I have messed up and made mistakes, I will not be eternally punished for it. Now, please, misunderstand me. I'm not preaching free grace. I'm not preaching that you go and do whatever you want to do because Jesus paid it all. That's not what I'm saying. The Apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. Though there is conflict, and though there is struggle, and though sometimes I make mistakes, and though sometimes I say things I shouldn't say, and though sometimes I do things I shouldn't do, it is not the end, and the game is not over, there's a law that supersedes the law of sin and death. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. It is the understanding. Look at this. I left off at Romans 8:2. But Romans 8:3 says this, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful death, in the likeness of sinful flesh rather, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. Catch this, because I never understood this before. I began to realize I went all the way back to the beginning. I went all the way back to the garden when they did the one thing that they were commanded not to do. And the Lord said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. We know that in the day that they ate of, they didn't physically die, they spiritually died. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. We know that. We understand that. But then I began to think a little further. Wait a second. The Bible says that he condemned sin in the flesh. When they sinned, when they were disobedient, what it caused was a spiritual death. Catch this. Now, what the Bible is telling me that through Jesus Christ, because of what he's done, if I am in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. In other words, though I make mistakes and though I mess up, guess what? The only death that I have to experience is it is appointed unto man to die once. The only death that I now have to experience is not a spiritual death, but a physical death. Because I can be eternally alive forevermore. I can through Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is therefore now no condemnation. I am now free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So now, please, this is not a license to sin, but is the understanding that even though there is conflict, there is not condemnation. Read this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took my sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He took upon him the law of sin and death. But the beauty of it is, because he knew no sin, he became sin for us. He took on our sin so that we could take on his righteousness. He took on our wrong so that we can take on his right and so that we can be justified. That means just as if I never sinned. Look at this. Colossians 2. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances it was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Because of what Jesus did, you and I have the ultimate freedom. It is not a freedom to sin, but it is a freedom that even though I do sin and I do make mistakes and I do mess up, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So as long as I am walking with Christ, as long as I am in him and he in me, guess what? I am making heaven my home. I'm not preaching eternal security. I am preaching the understanding that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that though there is still conflict, I do not die as a result. I will not go to hell just because I made a mistake today. I understand there is therefore now no condemnation, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free. I'm free of freedom like never before or ever will be. I am free. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. This is why the Bible says death hath no more dominion. Death hath no more dominion. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ superseded the law of sin and death. What Jesus did, catch this, is so much greater. What Jesus did is so much greater. Why he could say, where sin doth abound, grace is that much more abound. Understand, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's greater. That's why I am not condemned to die. I have righteousness, not in and of myself, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why Galatians 3:27 says, for many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ.
I've put on His righteousness, His holiness, His perfection. Doesn't mean there's no conflict. It doesn't mean I won't struggle. It doesn't mean I won't have this war. The spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. There will always be conflict. I'm going to say that again. There will always be conflict. You will never find yourself in a place of perfection. Never. You know, we put on the mask, we put on the facades. You know, we pretend a lot. But I hate to break it to you. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no perfection. None. So the only way for you and I to make null and void the law of sin and death is to be in Christ Jesus. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin. See, this is how, catch this. This is how the Apostle Paul could say this. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things profit. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Why, Paul? Because I'm free. Because I'm free. There's therefore now no condemnation. I'm free. I'm no longer bound by sin and its laws, because I am involved in a greater power. I have in me a greater law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and it makes me free from the law of sin and death. There is no freedom like what we find in Christ Jesus. I'm proud to be an American. But my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's still going to be conflict, and there's still going to be struggle, and there's still going to be this warring in my members. But guess what? There, even though there's conflict, there is no condemnation, because I have been made free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. What a beautiful message. What a beautiful understanding. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to get it right all the time, because I realize I don't. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for me. I will keep endeavoring with everything that I am to follow Him, that my life would bring Him glory. That my life would be lived in such a way to show my appreciation for what He did, what supersedes the law of sin and death. All over this house, can we raise our hands? Yes. Oh. We truly understood the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Not a freedom. Not a freedom to be involved in fleshly things. Not a freedom to go sinning, but a freedom that says, Lord, You're there and You have me covered. Hallelujah.
Creator, You hold our hearts together. There's no one higher than You. mighty Savior, there's no one higher than you.
Take a few moments and acknowledge the goodness of God.
We've been set free.
These altars are always open.
Lord, we stand amazed in
your
presence.
Let me show that my life be a display of gratitude.
Astounded by your mercy and
I recognize there will always be conflict, but there is no condemnation.
Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. In wonder, you reign with love forever. There's no one higher than you. Your beauty, your splendor, your glory knows no measure. There's no one higher than you.
I realize I'll get wounded in the fight.
You are always with.
But the wounds will not be
faced.
I realize I'll make mistakes. I won't live perfect from this day forward. I'll strive.
Lord, we stand amazed.
I'll press toward the mark, but I know how often fall short. I don't make excuses for
it.
What I do is I look to heaven and say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done.
Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. Of your name.
one final shot. Mentioned earlier, Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will all appear, the Bible says, before the judgment seat of Christ. And on one side, the accuser of the brethren will stand. He will say, so-and-so has committed sin. The law of sin and death says, this individual is to die. We're talking about eternal death. Now we're talking about all the martyrs. The accuser of the brethren will stand and say, here's the law. The wages of sin is death. They deserve death. But we have an advocate with the Father on the other side. The mediator, the man Christ Jesus, will stand, and when he would not say anything in his own defense, he will now speak in ours. I see your law of sin and death, but I have a law that is greater. And because of what Jesus did for me, judgment should have been death. But because of what he has done for you and for me, we are justified before God. And it's just as if we never sinned. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How, one more time, can we lift our hands? Lord, I'm so grateful. That one day, God, whether it be as you tarry and I die a natural death, or whether I pass, God, in rapture, Lord, whatever the case may be, I understand that it is appointed unto me to die once. Lord, when I stand before the judgment, I'm grateful that I can come with a clear conscience, not because of me. My righteousness is as filthy rags. Not because of works, lest any man should boast, but I can come and stand with full assurance because I have Jesus. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And I thank you. And I want my life to say it, to display it, to show it. And I would, in my actions and lifestyle, show that I am living a life triumphing over the law of sin and death. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.